Elna Mailet of Switzerland, Part 2. We express our sincere gratitude to Annie Kenon for generously sharing all her research on Elna Mailet and Mary Tonnier, both of Sri Ramanashramam, who enthusiastically provided us with a smooth and concise English translation of Ella's French interview and the last chapter of her book, Croiseries at Caravans. In our last issue, in the article, The Cat on Bhagavan's Couch, we introduced an exceptional personality of the 20th century who had taken refuge in India from 1940 to 1945. While the Second World War raged through most of Europe and Asia. This was Elna Mailet, an early pioneer among women adventurers, strong, ever curious about the unknown, and fascinated with travel. She had written a half dozen books about her travels, and another series of books has been published about her since her passing in 1997 at the ripe age of 93. After she left India and returned to Switzerland, Elna settled into a mountain chalet high in the Alps and named it Achala, abbreviated from Arunachala. Wherever she traveled throughout her long life, she took photos, notes, and even films. These chronicles of life in some of the most remote regions of the world have been recognized as valuable historical documents, and her fearless spirit of adventure inspired women and men around the world. While at Ramanashramam in 1942, she wrote Cruises and Caravans. Though autobiographical, the book primarily chronicles her 1935 3,000-mile trip west from Peking through the Taklamakan Desert and Sinkiang, at that time closed to foreigners, to Kashmir, a journey which took 7 months. While in Tiruvannamalai, she received a copy of the book from the publisher, which she immediately showed to Bhagavan, a happening that we described in our last issue. Elna later formally presented the book to the Maharishi with the following inscription: Dear Bhagavan, here is the book you helped me to write the summer before last. It is a war production intended for young readers, and you may remember that the publishers sent me as a sample for that series the book by the mountaineer named Smith. Once more, I form the deep wish, after so many years of dealing with the external world, as you may see by glancing through my autobiography, I shall now make swift progress in discovering the inner life leading to you. Yours, Elna. Sri Ramanashramam, 9243. With the publication of this book, Elna's financial situation improved, and a career as a writer, lecturer, and travel guide appears to have been established, though she did not leave India for another 2 years. The book was also later published in French. In the French edition, she added one more chapter in which she shared with the public her spiritual journey, a journey that began in her youth but ended at the feet of the sage of Arunachala. In the French film interview, at her Swiss Alps chalet in 1973, Ella talks about her time with Maharishi. During this time, I was thinking of the war in Europe, and with feelings of despair, I felt pressed forward to go to this sage whose address I already had. Holding in his hand one of the photos Ella had taken of Bhagwan, the interviewer asked her if this was the first sadhu she had met. Ella, in general terms, explained to the interviewer what a sadhu is. A sadhu is a master who has found the truth. He is not looking for it, and all his answers come from an inconceivable level of consciousness. Never would any of us reply as he did to all the varieties of questions that one would ask him. I decided to stay with him for quite a long time, and then, after 2 years, I stayed with another master, another sage, who was in Kerala, Krishna Menon, and who taught the same method of introspection. Know yourself. Try to know who is the true self, the I with a capital I, and not the little ego. And in Kerala, I also stayed a very long time, more or less until the end of the war. Then the interviewer, apparently a little puzzled, asked what were the questions to ask a sage and what it meant to live with a sage. Ella went on explaining, "Well, the basic question I asked myself since my childhood, when I would see something while living at the Crux de Jintod, name of the place where she lived near Geneva, was what is reality, the center, the essence of what we see, the essence of life in the present moment. I knew that the present is the only real thing, but then again, it is just a word used to give a response. Well, with that understanding, when we want to get to the bottom of a problem, we have to know who we are, because everything depends on me. I'm the one who is conscious and who sees things. And all the questions that one asks a sage revolve around that one fundamental question: who am I? Who is the real I? All of the wisdom in the whole world speaks of the two I's, a little I, who is identified with the body, and an I, who refers to the supreme I. And it is necessary that the two I's coalesce to form only one, merge into one, so that we are not perpetually divided in ourselves. And the true master is one who has accomplished this realization directly, the direct experience of the true I. He is capable of responding to our questions in such a satisfying manner that we say, "Voila, he is a master. I understand his responses. I like the way he responds, and I will stay close to him to progress and refine myself so that I too will be able to reach this level of consciousness if that is my destiny." So we stay close to such a sage, though most of the time he may respond in silence, without saying a word, by a kind of telepathy. And most of the time he foresees our questions. He gives us books, he helps us with readings, and we can ask questions when we have not understood something. And it is this inner work that is worthwhile. Then we become so passionate about what we find within ourselves, that we accept all the difficulties of living there in the extreme heat with unsuitable food and crude accommodations. Then the interviewer asked whether she succeeded in coalescing the two I, and if so, why she did not stay in India rather than return to Switzerland. Ella, well, you speak of the supreme goal as if it were very easy to obtain. I think that I understood the concepts and equally the techniques that they gave me. And if I actually did understand something worthwhile, I should be able to put it into practice as well as here in Switzerland as over there. The climate there is something really extreme, and the food didn't agree with me at all. And I think if one is born in a certain place, it is in that place one must accomplish one's life and one's destiny. But I went back many times to the sage, the Maharishi, up until his death. After the war, I went back 3 or 4 times, and in 1951, I spent 4 or 5 months. These visits to the ashram that Ella mentioned in this interview do not seem to have been recorded earlier. She may have also visited Krishna Menon, Atmananda in Kerala, with whom she had spent considerable time during the war years. He passed away only in 1959. He had no formal ashram and lived with his family in their Trivandrum home. In the interview, filmed in her childhood study, 2 photos, the wedding bus photo of Sri Ramana and one that she herself had taken of Bhagavan, are prominent. By all evidence, it was the Maharishi whom she connected with and revered most, and it was his teaching she practiced throughout her long life. In the course of Ella's natural spiritual maturing process, which no doubt was accelerated in the Maharishi's proximity, her relentless restlessness subsided with the realization that the world with its countless aspects cannot give us the fundamental answer. Only God can. And God can be met nowhere but in ourselves. So, when she returned to Switzerland in 1945, Ella settled down to a quiet life, though her fame continued to grow from day to day. A glimpse at the index of Ella's Geneva archives reveals a prolific correspondence with renowned writers, thinkers, and political figures of the 20th century, including Winston Churchill, Taylor D. Chardin, Alexandra David Neal, Arnaud Desjardins, Andrew Dupré, Olga Tolstoy, Titus Burckhardt, Krishna Menon, Edwina Mountbatten, Pierre, Prince of Greece, to name a few. A little closer to home, the archives have folders of correspondence between Ella and Chinnaswamy, Henry Cartier Bresin, Major Chadwick, Guy Haig, Henry Hartung, Walter Kears, Jawaharlal Nehru, Ethel Merston, and Swami Siddheswarananda.